Hi, welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, guys, let's get started.
All right. Well, last week we started a deep dive into Sir Thomas Olton Duke the Fourth's story, or as we call him, Tommy. And
really need y'all to start calling me
we're not,
sir no. or stud.
You wasted the $50. We're not.
Did I really waste it? Really?
I mean, no. I think
I've wasted $50 on McDonald's. At least I got a certificate. I can't find it, but.
Oh goodness! Well, we dove in last week to Tommy's story, and Tommy, you shared with us about your dad's mental illness and how it created barriers for you and your faith and really surrendering to the Lord. And then, you know, now we're going to dive into the adulthood portion of your story and kind of hear what the Lord did to bring you to Himself. So take it away.
Yep. And I just want anyone listening to know that anything that I say, I hope it doesn't come across as I'm bragging about anything or nothing. It's nothing about that. It's really nothing to brag about. Spoiler alert. But except the Lord and His intervention into my life. But, you know, as I kept running from the Lord, like I in some ways relate to Jonah, you know, running, just because I felt the Lord calling me. And there were moments in my life where I'd go to church and I would have an emotional moment and I would, you know, tear and go down front and say, I want to rededicate my life, but nothing took hold. It was this cycle over and over of you know, same old thing, sin, regret, you know, repent, sin, regret, repent. There was never any real change in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I poured myself into my career then. You know, after I left the police department, I started working for a consulting company. And over a number of years, you know, long hours, a lot of hard work. But I enjoyed the work. It was challenging. But I worked my way up from, you know, a low person down to executive, you know, C-suite level at the company.
So an executive stud.
Oh, wow.
Got it. I like that.
Okay, all right. Maybe if you pay $60, you can get another certificate
that you can lose.
Yeah, I need to try to find that.
Sorry, I yield your time back.
So, you know, after, I would say this, I really felt like, you know, I was, in my career was progressing. I had all my friends were there. It really felt like that's where the value in my life was. And so I focused on that a lot and really didn't focus on anything with the Lord. Like, you know, I mentioned last week, I was not leading my family in that way. Sure, we would attend church, and that was a lot of the check off the box thing. Made me feel good. I'd go to church, but there was no change in my life. No real, difference. But,
well, I would say, Tommy, I think most men fall into that category of finding validation, finding value in what they do, right? As far as their career and how they perform and all of that. And so it's a slippery slope for sure. But anyway, you're not alone in that.
Yeah. So toward the end of my tenure there at that company, when I sort of felt like it was time for me to go, I remember feeling really good about, hey, it's my time to go. I'm going to go over into this other business, and it's going to be maybe in my mind, it was perfect. It was less stressful. There was less responsibility. So I thought
you were at that job when you started the discipleship group, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to place timelines.
So, I was there.
Okay.
It was like the last year I was there.
Okay.
When we started the discipleship. And, I do want to point out, this was during the time, toward the end of that, my career there, my job and my career, I'm not retired yet. Not like Justin.
Close though.
am I the oldest one in here?
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah.
Golly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
How old are you, Tommy?
I still look really young, though.
See, you say that. You also said you look skinny.
Are you fat shaming me and calling me ugly? Dang.
I think you look good, man. I just think the fact that you don't know that you're the oldest one kind of shows us you're slipping a little bit on the mind.
Mind plays tricks on you, as we've talked about.
That's right.
So so that's right, Jeff. So as it toward the end of my tenure here at this company, we started going to church more regularly. My kids were young. They were involved in church. We wanted them to be involved in church. Like I said, I was never running like I hate God. I'm, you know, it wasn't ever anything like that. It was just I was never all in.
It was enough.
Yeah.
Right. You were just doing enough to,
you know, on the surface.
Sure.
It was enough.
Right.
There was a lot going on inside of me.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of turmoil inside of me as far as feeling validated, feeling valued, feeling fulfilled, having enjoyment, joy. So I would compulsively obsess over things. I mean, it didn't matter what I was going. If I decided to buy something, I would research it to the nth degree. One time, here's a story you guys may not know. The company started a bowling league. And I'd be danged if Sir Thomas Sultan Duke is going to use any house balls and any shoes that other people use.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So.
Did you have your own polisher to polish it at home, too?
Sir Thomas had to go and research bowling balls with the hook. So I started watching bowling on TV to see how they threw it and to see the ball hook. And I started researching. I probably spent seriously 80 hours researching bowling balls.
That's unbelievable.
Is this the part where you tell us, like, you did all that, bought all the stuff, and, like, the kid in the lane next to you bowled a better score? That wasn't a part of the group.
Hey,
you looked cool.
I did bowl a pretty good score. I did get a trophy for the highest score of the league. Now, there wasn't that many.
How many people?
We had, 20 or so people, but.
That's being, like, third in a three-man race. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I was a little better than that.
That's awesome.
I had the holes drilled for my hands and everything. Oh my God. So that's just a little glimpse.
Well, I mean, I remember when I first met you, the reputation was like, Tommy's getting a new car here soon.
I love cars.
Who doesn't?
Love cars. And I was at the point, so again, not having really any guidance when it comes to what happens after you leave the house.
Right.
Financial guidance. Mm-hmm. No accountability. Hey, everything's easy to get on credit.
Right.
And I had good credit, and I made okay money. So I could afford the payment. So then it just became flipping payments, you know? Mm-hmm. Trade one car payment for another car payment. I've always got a new car every year, so I could just, if I get bored
with this. 6 months?
No, that was more than 6 months. I'd probably go a year.
6 months.
Well, if you ask my wife, it was 3 months.
Exactly. See,
but Lord bless her. She's been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good one.
She is.
She is, man.
But you know, you can kind of get the picture, right? The bowling ball, the cars were constant. I love cars. So I still love cars.
But one recently, what did you just research to the nth degree? Please tell everybody this one. This one's fantastic. You know what you researched?
Oh, the blender.
Yeah.
Oh man, I
the
did
the blender. Don't say it like it wasn't the blender.
Yeah, it was just the blender. Yeah, well, I actually had to think through my mind which ones he's talking about.
Now, this is confession time, so tell us the rabbit hole you went down.
Who doesn't want to buy, though, something that is going to be good? Like, it's going to work, you know, commercial grade. I mean, you go to the juicy place. What's it called? Juicy Gym or the Juice Plus?
Juice Plus, yeah.
You go to Juice Plus and the smoothies are smooth.
Yeah, but I go there for their blender.
But I just put in my mind, like, by the time I go there.
By the time I make 743 smoothies,
by the time I go there 600 times, I could have bought my own. Well, then I started watching these YouTube. Don't watch YouTube. And then you're going to want to buy everything that they have that they got for free because they have a million subscribers.
See, that's what you should do. Then you could get the free commercial grade.
I have a face for radio. I don't
product
have
a tester.
All right, here's the deal though. You got to tell us, how much did you spend on the blender?
What?
Do it.
Listen, this was a top of the line blender.
It better be.
Yeah. It is, and I did get a package deal with the food processor as well.
So that justified it.
That's like something my dad would say.
But just
like,
wait.
There's more. And buy now, get one free. Or like my dad's notorious for like, hey, they had this shirt on sale, so I bought one in four different colors.
I'm but
like,
that's not always bad. Mm. Okay, don't take financial advice from me.
It's not financial advice. I think you're smart. I think it's just...
Well, if I find a sweater I like, yo, I'll buy the same sweater in a bunch of different colors. But anyway, back to the blender. I mean, the blender was $1,000.
What?
But I bet you there's Watch people... I bet you people are listening right now, and they're going...
No one that is listening has ever paid $1,000 for a blender.
No, sir.
All right. Guilty.
All right. Anyway, I just thought that was a funny story. You know.
And I love how you tell it, Tommy, because like you acknowledge it, but and you own it, but like it's so funny that
You know, it's funny we can laugh and joke about it now, and you know, I will tell you this, that the men's group, you guys specifically, have been my guys since the very beginning. You don't know how much of a role you played into helping me grow in my faith, grow in my maturity as a man, and all of that, and seeing those things. So it's not an easy thing to do to realize that, hey, you don't do everything right. You know, especially coming from the background I had where I was very hardened. I was very, like you mentioned, manly man. And so admitting any type of wrong or failure was not in the vocabulary then.
Yeah, I can imagine for you, it probably was a sense of like, I overcame, right? Like kind of some of the things that... I mean, I'm in a nice house. I have nice things.
Oh, yeah. In those areas, exactly. You know, it was, I'm giving my kid, you can always use that too as a validator. Mm-hmm. I'm giving my kids what I didn't have.
Right.
You know, so therefore it's valid and justified.
Right. Yeah, sure.
That's dangerous, by the way. I fight that a lot. I'll tell you this, though. The road to where I am today was not fun. So I left the job. I decided to leave the job because I was going to go and do something else. And immediately, I mean, the last day of my employment, great. I put in my notice. I was fine. Literally the next day, the next week, you would have thought that my whole family died.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
It was this realization that came over me that what did I just do? Mm-hmm. I just left my career where I was successful, where I was good at my job, where people liked me, I made good money, to something else that, I mean, that wasn't what I was used to doing. You would have thought, I mean, it was devastating to me.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, I didn't know how to process that.
Yeah.
I didn't know why I was having this emotional breakdown, but it was really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you calling me and just saying, can you just please come to the house?
Oh, bro, that was 4 or 5 months after.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a 6-month ordeal. When I left the job, started this other job, complete panic, complete just lost, mm-hmm. couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, mm-hmm. lost a ton of weight, couldn't call me fat then. I mean, that was the one good thing out of it, I guess.
Things are going great now.
It was terrible. And you know when this timing was? Remember the time? Remember the time of year?
I don't. Tell me.
Oh, it was right before Thanksgiving. Right to March. So Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, miserable. Not for me. I'm not just for me. For my whole family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, miserable. It was a darkest time in my life, depression, anxiety, you name it. So I came to an end of the road moment, and I called you.
Yeah.
I said, bro, you got to come over. Yeah. I'm not ashamed to say right now, I was bawling. I was, Jeff, I don't know if you remember, you came over. We walked outside, we were getting in your truck, mm-hmm. and I was saying, you know, I'm tired of looking at all these vehicles, just these things. And I was just so tired of it. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, those things don't bring you joy. They don't bring fulfillment. They bring, you know, pain. They bring, you know, it's, and they bring anxiety. They bring.
Well, it's like somebody said, like, sin fulfills what it does in the moment, right? Or else we wouldn't do it. Like that instant gratification is like, oh yeah. And then there's instant regret. Right, that follows. And so in that, I think you had seen the cycle enough to realize, everything's being stripped too. You know, that career's gone, oh, yeah. and now you're in one that you're like panicking about. And now you're seeing all these material things as not fulfilling.
Oh, it was, it was more than not fulfilling. It was like as a
trap.
It was just as a daily reminder of, because everything that had value was stripped away. Right.
Yeah.
So I called you. You came over. I was literally crying almost uncontrollably. What else did I tell you, Jeff, that day? Remember what I told you I was so mad at myself about?
I don't. Tommy, you can't put me on the spot like that, man.
Wow. He don't remember nothing.
I have 5 kids.
What happened? What did I do last year? Where did I graduate?
College.
Don't you remember? That started that day in the driveway. So it's more impactful for me because you were the voice of reason. I was telling you, I'm so mad at myself. I did all of these things. All of this was pouring out. Just this regret of this flashback of my life, of all the things that I didn't do that I wish I'd have done, because I was so, you know, far away from really focusing on what mattered the most. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to live in the moment all the time.
Right.
So all of this came crashing down. I have this debt. I don't want these vehicles. I don't want. I don't have a college degree. I never finished my college degree. Mm-hmm. You know, and I poured that out to you, and you said, man, then do it. Then do it. Just make a plan and do it. Mm-hmm. And so, Jeff, I'm going to share something, you know, that's personal. But, you know, this is the thing about the men's group. This is the thing about, you know, what's the beauty of the men's group that we're in is that we share personal things with each other because we're helping each other walk through difficult times in our life and stuff. So I'm going to share something with you guys. I had to go to therapy. I had to go see a psychiatrist because I just could not, couldn't get past it.
I do remember that. I remember going with you.
And Jeff went with me. And it was a Christian guy. And we talked. And I'm not ashamed to say, though, that even in the discussions and stuff, you know, I was still having, you know, these issues and had to get on some medication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. Well, it's not funny. But it's a little ironic then all of a sudden all of the thoughts of my dad come back. Oh, do I have what he had?
Oh, that I remember that conversation specifically. That fear you had.
Did it trickle down mm-hmm. to me?
Yeah.
And I will say I never had, you know, the thing is that when you really look at it for what it is, I never had any of the symptoms that he had. I mean, he had, mm-hmm. you know, he saw things, heard things and all that. I never had that. Mine was just depression and anxiety. But mm-hmm. all of that is magnified. When you're going through that, everything is magnified.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. So at the same time, you know, the Lord is working this whole time. And when I left that job and I was so depressed, I was only gone about a month and I got a phone call from I was in consulting from an ex-client, large company, high up person, called me and said that they were looking to move to a different consulting company and would I'd be interested in a job because we had such a great connection. They were already talking to this other consulting company and, you know, hey, would I be willing, or, you know, am I in the market to go to work, you know, to talk to them about a job because they're hiring somebody and they thought I'd be a perfect fit. And I'm like, sure. Again.
Yeah.
I said, sure. And I had a conversation with that company, went great. Had another call with them and a few months later, that went great. But the whole time I'm still dealing with this. I'm battling this, just this severe anxiety and depression of what did I do? What did I do? A couple months after that, so right at the time we went to the doctor and all that, that's when I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord,
yeah.
And he said, you never knew me. You never knew me. You're going through all of this because you put all of your faith, you put all of your trust into this career, into these idols.
Things you could control.
And you never put your faith and trust in me. You didn't build your foundation in me. And that hit me like, so I called you first, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had to call our, you know, the pastor of the church and tell him, hey, your deacon just got saved.
Your deacon drummer.
Deacon drummer.
Just got saved. And he's so, such a good guy, man.
Yeah.
But I got tired of running from it. I got tired of questioning it. I was just done. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. It was like, I was like that old man who has no inhibition anymore. I didn't care. I had to get rid of all of this baggage and give it to the Lord and just say I'm done.
Right.
And that was 6 years ago.
6 years.
Mm-hmm. I've never questioned my salvation since.
Right. Yeah.
I just thank the Lord for that. And he kept our family together. Like there was many, many times where, you know, I didn't think it was going to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and even throughout my marriage, you know, and as I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader and I wasn't being the spiritual leader, you know, that had, that had evidence in our marriage and stuff. Sure. And just not doing what I was supposed to do, but having a wife hungry for that, but not being led the way that she
needed. Well, not feeling like maybe she should trust you.
Oh,
right.
Well.
Like that impulsiveness, same way your mom, your dad in a way.
One thing I'll say about that is as I started realizing my tendencies, it didn't really even make it better because then I would get to the point to make a decision and then back away from that. So that's where it was like flip-floppy, like, oh, I'd get real excited. I'd do all the research. I did the 80 hours of research, and then I would go to hit purchase or go to buy. No, I'm not going to do it.
That was progress. You know what I'm saying? Like, because before you would buy it and then instantly regret it. And then
it wasn't hard on me. It was hard on her and the kids just to go through that.
But what I'm saying is in all of that, for people that struggle with the same thing, like just because you become a believer, truly a follower of Christ, doesn't mean that those temptations, those tendencies instantly stop. It's a process. And so I think being able to recognize that too and being like, okay, I'm not going to push the button. That's progress. And then it got to where it was smaller things because before it was huge things, like very expensive things.
Right.
And now then it was blenders. Smaller things. Now it's expensive blenders. Yeah.
Yeah. So. No, but I think you also did a really good job throughout that time, Tom. And I know the Lord's in it, but also like knowing the triggers. So that way, you know, you're aware of it, but then you'd even reach out to, I know at least the two of us, Jeff and myself, to talk through some things and whomever else you might've talked to, you know,
no, you were great, my guys, like, you two were my guys.
Yeah. But even in that, like you were reaching out and it no longer was like this thing that you were dealing with by yourself. And all that's wrapped up in, and also the changes that the Lord was doing in your life. You know, so that's the cool part of what we saw, I think.
Right. And that's the cool part about true accountability is when you let somebody in your life like that, to be able to say, I really do need you to hold me accountable and I'm going to call you. Hey, I'm about to buy Idaho. Talk me off.
I do like potatoes.
See, I knew it.
You guys got to know that was not because of any strength I had or any brilliance that it was in me to do that. Obviously, it was God's interference in my life and his divine intervention to bring me you guys as friends. And I'm not saying that because we're sitting here. You guys had an incredible impact and influence over my life to feel comfortable to encourage me to do that. It was almost like it wasn't my idea at first. You know, you guys were saying, hey, you know, you don't like this. You know about, you know, I started journaling. Jeff, you got me into journaling. Right. I still journal to this day now because of that. And I can look back and read those things that I wrote about in those moments. But it was you telling me, hey, you know, you've told me that you feel this way, and you write down how it makes you feel after doing that and the regret.
Right.
Then you can look back on it and relive how you felt without having to relive how you felt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Justin, I know we're going to get into your story as this season goes on, but, for such a young guy, man, you are just full of wisdom. And really too, in the financial piece of that too, and using your finances in a godly way was a very big part for me when I was using finances in an ungodly way, basically, you know, to fulfill what,
yeah.
The gap that God fills.
Right.
I was using that. But anyway, I just wanted to say, you guys don't give yourself enough credit, but you should.
Well, once again, it's the Lord and what He's done in our lives, and just being held accountable ourselves. And so,
and that's the power of this men's group. That's the power of this group of guys who can share life together and feed life. I said, share life and feed life. But that's what it is. When you are investing into someone and their family, and you're giving them, you know, godly advice because you yourself are right with God, you're praying, you know, every day for wisdom. And then you're equipping yourselves, you know, with the ability to then go and help others who need that. That is life-giving.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, Tommy, you know, there was also others seeing a change in you over the course of those years. Like, I remember in our small group, there were guys that eventually became a part of the guys group that were like, hey, like, I've seen Tommy talking about things and sharing like what his what he's been reading, like whether it was stuff in small group that we were reading and going through or stuff that you read on your own. They're like, I just see a difference in him. And I could just look at that person and others and smile and be like, man, like that's what he's talking about when he says the Lord got a hold of his heart. Like, it's authentic and real. And that's what the Lord has done in you. And other people were seeing that. And people are attracted to that, not because of what you're saying or doing, but because they're attracted to what the Lord was doing in you and through you. So,
yeah, the life change. And I want to add to this because, Tommy, I remember your struggle even after making all those decisions for the Lord and following consistently, and you saw tremendous growth in yourself. We all saw it. Other people saw it. But at the same time, there was still a little bit of perhaps tension or lack of trust between you and Christine, you know, and getting on the same page. And it was kind of like she was expecting maybe, okay, we're going to go right back. So I'm just going to wait a minute. And the more consistent you were over time, the more she could trust. And where you guys are at today is just a beautiful picture.
Well, I appreciate that. She had every right to believe all that because that's how it had been for so long. And, you know, she was at the end of her rope, I guarantee you. I know she was. And that's the God thing, man.
Yeah.
And intervening and then giving her just this patience that she didn't have on her own, just to stick it out as long as possible. And then, like you said, where we are now, I don't take any credit for it, but I do know that my relationship with the Lord is solid. And that has led to us becoming closer together as her walk with the Lord is there now, you know, a lot more solid now. And
yeah. And I would just say consistency over time leads to healing. So that's wherever you're at in your marriage, relationships, and
I would say for both sides, you know, if you're the one causing the strain, like if you're the Tommy in this story, you know, it takes consistency. There is a light at the end. I mean, there is truly healing that is there for you. If you're the my wife, if you're Christine in this story, you know, patience, there is healing at the end. there is, God has a plan that is greater and better than any plan that we would ever put together. Mm-hmm. We just have to trust him. Right. And it took me a long, many years to get to that point. And now I'm going to spend the rest of my years working on it and trying to get closer and closer. And you know, so.
Yeah. And how patient is the Lord and all that, man? Oh, like, even through all of it, he's like, when it finally came to, he's like, welcome.
And right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's like the story about, you know, I used to say, oh Lord, come now, come now. Man, I'm glad he didn't come. Right. You know, yeah. I'm glad that he waited yeah. and held off. So,
well, man, that's it, dude. After hearing your story, I'm calling you stud from now on. That was
oh,
awesome.
Oh man. Cool. All right. Cool.
Sir Thomas Holton Duke, the 4th. Thank you for sharing your story, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you'll tune in next time to hear more.